This is Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
It has been 25 years since a groundbreaking TV show called The White Shadow debuted on CBS television. Since then, the creator and star of that show, Ken Howard, has gone on to lots of other movies and stage performances and has a new book out now called Act Natural, How to Speak to Any Audience, and I'm very happy to have him on the show. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Paul.
Before we get into the TV stuff and the book, is it hard for a guy who's 6'6" to get his first acting job in a world of short people?
I remember telling my father I was going to pursue a fellowship at Yale out of college and go to drama school, and I wondered what he would say. He was from the business world, and he took a long pause and looked at me, and he said, "Aren't you a little tall?" Which was sweet. It was his concern, because I grew to be his height. And actually, it's gotten in the way sometimes, but when I started, it was really part of my early good fortune. I got the first role I got on Broadway, I think, was because I was taller than Jerry Orbach in a scene where I was required to come on and say a few funny things and then punch him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next was Thomas Jefferson, which was, you know, they needed a young guy who was clearly very tall. So at the beginning it helped, and then other times, particularly as I got into film, it sometimes got in the way, because it's all right if I'm playing the lead, but it's hard at my size to play the sidekick to a number of actors who aren't particularly tall.
Did you ever have to do that thing where they dig a hole for you so you look the same height as Tom Cruise or anybody else? I mean, all these other...
A little bit, standing on a lower step, but I think I've been required to sit down quickly a number of times once I come into a room.
You mentioned Thomas Jefferson, which brings up one of my all-time favorite movie musicals, 1776.
Yes.
And I just happened to be back from vacation in Philadelphia. I took my 9-year-old daughter to all those places in the historic area, including the house that Jefferson lived in when he wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
Did you go there and do any research before you first took the role on stage and then in the movie?
Not that, but what you remind me of is that in 1975, John Huston did a film for the Bicentennial, which they showed ad nauseum in 1976, called Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot a scene. I remember it took all this time to light, and we wound up shooting it sometime around midnight, in the actual... that actual office, that little room,
uh-huh,
with a huge camera and coming all the way in through these blowing curtains and of me as Jefferson writing the Declaration. So after the fact, I was there and I did do that. But I think I had taken a course at college that Henry Steele Commager gave called The American Mind, and the first semester was all about Jefferson. So I knew a good deal about him, actually, but it was a musical. I think you know there was only so much I really had to know. I always thought that when in doubt, I was best advised to play the statue anyway, or at least to look like that as best I could.
You know, that movie is so good. I wish it were a perennial thing. You know, like It's a Wonderful Life has become the Christmas movie. I wish 1776 were shown on a major network every July 4th in this country.
Yeah, it's great. It's great fun, and it's actually the first time of many times that I worked with Blythe Danner. I was very fond of her, and
mm-hmm,
so we had a good time. I'd done it on the stage originally,
right?
And on the stage, the Martha Jefferson was Betty Buckley, who
went
on to all kinds of great success as a Broadway star, but. Fond memories. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, as was The White Shadow, which continues. I said before when I was mentioning that you were going to be on today, I said, I don't know if The White Shadow qualifies as a cult TV show now, but...
By now, probably it does.
It's still around. It's on ESPN Classic, I see, every once in a while.
Yeah.
And you actually came up with the idea for the show. Do you think you could get The White Shadow onto a network today?
No.
Why?
It's interesting. For one, back, you know, when I mentioned Blythe Danner, that's how I got to know her husband, Bruce Paltrow, as Blythe and I continued to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I brought the idea for The White Shadow to. And he created the pilot and cast it. And he was a great guy and a terrific producer. But we talked about this after the fact. And Bruce actually said to me, he said, I don't think we could have pulled this off now, because now it seems that ideas, particularly when you bring them in from the outside, as we did, I mean, they weren't created in-house, immediately they go to marketing, some sort of studies to see what people are watching. And, you know, most marketing's based on, it's after the fact. So there hadn't been a show like that at all. and considering the racial aspect and everything else back in 1978, I don't think we would have had a chance. But the three main guys running CBS were they could move unilaterally. So they said, yeah, go ahead, do the pilot. We don't know if you have a chance on a series, but we like the idea. And then we got on the air and we did pretty well. And I found out after the fact, although I had a feeling at the time, that the reason we got on for the third year was that Bill Paley, who ran CBS, said, keep it on, I like it. Period.
Hey, that's nice if the guy at the top of the pyramid says, keep it on. They keep it on.
Yeah, but you can't. I don't think you can find that guy these days. It's kind of hard. Maybe Les Moonves a bit by now.
Maybe Michael Eisner, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But all I know is that they're few and far between, and it would be a lot harder because that was an unusual show to sell to network television, and maybe that's why it's stuck around as you say, a cult favorite, because it's so homemade and it's good-hearted.
You know? You didn't actually play a lot of basketball on the show. You played some, but the opening sequence shows you playing, I think it was with the Bulls, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where was that done, and did you have to get into shape again to do it?
A little bit. I was older, but what was I? I was in good enough. I'm trying to think. Well, let's see, 78. So I was 34. So I was all right in terms of being an old pro. I knew Johnny Kovler, who was one of the owners of the Chicago Bulls. I had done the play Equus in Chicago for the better part of a year, and we'd gotten to be friends. And so once this whole project came up, I called him, and he said, yeah, come out with a small crew and lots of fresh $100 bills for various people, and we'll just steal some footage, because the Bulls at that point were in the basement.
Yeah.
In fact, John Kovler's last act before he left ownership and moved on to other things was to, against a lot of opposition, to get Michael Jordan,
because
he listened to the scouts.
And so somebody showed up with a
lineup? So we showed up with a small, Jackie Cooper as the director, and a couple of cameras, and Bruce Paltrow and I, and they got me in a Bulls uniform, and I went out and warmed up with them and got a couple of quick shots off. They shot, and then a lot of footage on the bench with Artis Gilmore and whatnot. And so we set it all up, and then when we were back in California, we were able to duplicate that look just enough for the actual, you know, the beginning. There's an accident under the basket where Reeves gets hurt.
Yes,
but yeah, what you thought was it really was there, and it was an article the next day. It was funny, and I think it was one of the Chicago papers. I think it was the Sun Times saying, Who was the rookie out there who looked to be in his mid-30s wearing number 14 or whatever it was? So after the show was over, they had me come back to Chicago Stadium, and they retired my number, which they made 14 and a half. But anyway, it was very good of John Kovler. You know, we really got footage that usually you have to go through so much red tape, it becomes almost impossible.
So who did you have to peel those hundreds off for?
Whoever wanted them.
anybody who would say, you can't come in here. Oh, yeah? Here's 100.
Here you go, you know, or whatever. And also just kind of his good faith, you know, to be there even a while to bother anybody, come in the locker room. So it was almost,
right. I
understand. The gesture more than anything else.
I understand. And now you're on the show Crossing Jordan with Jill Hennessy, who I understand you have to tape early or film early because she's pregnant?
Yes, we shot the first 6 episodes that we usually would have started around now, but we only took a couple of weeks off at the end of March and started shooting those 6 episodes through April, May, and June, so that now she can enjoy her 8th and 9th month of pregnancy and have her baby, and then be back, I would assume, a month or so afterwards, and they'll start filming again sometime in, I guess, late October,
now,
they plan.
Yeah, this is a beautiful and thin woman, model thin, so I'm even going to guess those middle months she didn't have to do that standard practice of walking around with a coat at all times, covering her belly because she was
only
showing.
Only a little bit. She really carried well. She just looked so beautiful, and even towards the last week, by the last month, they had to do a little bit of this and that, but she really just carried it so well and is so attractive. Anyway, I think it was the most beautiful I've ever seen her when she was right in about her 5th and 6th month, you know, just glowing. So I don't think they had too much trouble with it, no. And, they always have extra stand-ins and shots and various things, so it wasn't that hard.
Let's talk about the book, Act Natural, How to Speak to Any Audience. You gave advice to Robert De Niro about how to speak in front of people.
Yeah, I did. I use that as the introduction because, he's he's not known for his gift of gab.
Right.
And I was emceeing a big function at the Manhattan Theater Club in about 20 years ago. And I'd introduce some people, and I was in my tuxedo and did all these things without notes because I was prepared to do it. And when I came off in that De Niro way of his, he said, "How do you do that?" I said, "Well, I'm in the habit of doing these kinds of things." And he said, "I must admit, I'm not very comfortable with these things. I don't know how to do it." I said, "Well, what is it they want you to do?" And he showed me this typewritten piece of paper. He said, "Well, they want me to read this. It's about the Manhattan Theater Club. You have any advice?" And I said, "Well, first of all, whatever you do, don't read that. I mean, nobody came here to hear you read a page. I mean, you know about the Manhattan Theater Club. Just go out and get rid of that and just, tell the people out there, you know, how you like the Manhattan Theater Club, as like you were talking to a friend, and they'll love that." So he walked out to the podium and crumpled up the piece of paper and threw it over his shoulder and said, "Ken Howard told me to do that." And then leaned on the podium and talked to the audience for about 5-10 minutes, and they loved it. I mean, it was wonderful. And off he went with this little wink, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, it worked."
Yeah.
You know, and off he went.
It worked very
and
well.
So I use that as a beginning because part of the point is if you've prepared enough and have a sense of what it is you're trying to accomplish, you can be a lot more effective as a speaker out there without notes and reading some canned thing and making it a conversation with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are always it takes some preparation and some know-how as to how to do this for non-actors. But that's how I begin. So that's
well, knowing that public speaking is the number one fear that people say they have in this country.
By far.
I've read the book and looked through it, and as a person who's had to speak extemporaneously in front of other people, I learned a whole bunch of stuff from the book. So I'm heartily recommending it. I've made it the book of the week on my website, Ken.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I appreciate your time today.
Okay.
Ken Howard, the book is Act Natural, How to Speak to Any Audience, here on the Paul Harris Show. This is the Big 550 KTRS.